Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Well, good morning. So we are in the third lesson with the title Salvation in the Gospel Wisdom. And, you know, what we're trying to do as we're moving through this process, you know, the whole goal for us is to become enlightened, to try to understand the world and our relationship to God the way Jesus did, or even the great masters before Jesus, Buddha and some of the others. And, you know, there's a mindset that these great masters operate at that is really, really, really different from where we are. Everybody with me? Okay. So we're trying to understand what do we need to do within ourselves and whatnot to help us to reach this higher consciousness, to understand what does it really mean to be one with God, so to speak. So I debated in reading this little opening statement. Matter of fact, I put it on a separate piece of paper from my talk just in case I didn't have the nerve to read it, you know, to take up extra time. But this is going to describe what Jesus felt after the baptism by John, and also when he made the statement, I and the Father are one. Okay. It says, during baptism by God in the form of the Holy Spirit, as experienced by Jesus, he saw the light of the spiritual eye as descended from the macrocosmic divine light. And from this came the voice of Om, the intelligent, all-creative, heavenly sound, vibrating as an intelligible voice. Thou art my Son. Having lifted thy consciousness from the limitations of the body and all matter to realize thyself as one with my perfect reflection, my only begotten image, immanent in all manifestation, I am bliss, and my joy I express in thy rejoicing and attunement with my omnipresence. And Jesus felt his consciousness attuned to the Christ consciousness, the only begotten reflection of God the Father's intelligence in the holy vibration. He first felt his body as the entire vibratory creation in which his body was included, and then within his cosmic body of all creation. He experienced his oneness with God's innate presence as the infinite Christ or universal intelligence, a magnetic aura of blissful divine love in which God's presence holds all beings. Now, whether we understand it or not, we have to understand that we know that once one human being reaches its level of consciousness, then that level of consciousness exists in all human beings. Does that make sense? You know, the simple example I used to say give was, it used to be believed that a human being could not run the 4-minute mile. But once one human being ran the 4-minute mile, then everybody could run the 4-minute mile. I mean, not everybody, but you know what I mean. So it's the same idea. So because Jesus reached a certain level of consciousness, it now that consciousness exists in every one of us. It's just that we are not yet aware of it. That's why he says, all that I do, you shall do, shall, in other words, shall, and greater than this, okay? Because I've reached this level of consciousness, it now exists in all consciousness. Is that meant? Okay. So the key here is for us to try to understand, how do I get to that? You know, that's always the ego saying, well, how do I get to that? Because he wants to claim that it's enlightened. You get me? All right? So what we're going to do in this lesson, we're going to investigate the notion of having the courage, the strength, the vision to truly know ourselves. I mean, really know ourselves. And where we are truly on this path of emotional, intelligent, spiritual growth that we're trying to go through. Where are we really? We want to discover what is holding us back from attuning our consciousness with our indwelling Christ consciousness, all right? What is holding us back? And there is stuff holding us back, okay? So if we go to Lamentations 3:40, it says, let us test and examine our ways so that we may return to the Lord. So it says, let us test how we are. You know, who am I really and how am I showing up in the world? Okay, so in this lesson, we're talking about testing our motives for being on the spiritual path. Right? Now, one of the challenges many of us face is our inability to see ourselves as we really are. That, right, you get what I'm saying? All right? Because people are always telling us, why are you like that? Right? And going, like what? Okay, because we can't really see ourselves and how we are showing up in the various scenarios in our lives. Now, many of us have a tendency to only know ourselves emotionally in terms of what we want in our lives and what we want to do. Okay, and we are selective and protective of our ways of being. Is that just me or is that, okay, all right? So we want things the way we want them. And yes, you know, when I say that, we want things the way we want them. I know our ego is saying, yeah, and? Right? Because we're very specific about how life has to be. That's why I was sharing that we really don't operate from loving each other. It's a counterfeit version of love. It's a conditioned version of love. I will love you as long as you fit within the conditions that I've given you. You step outside those conditions, forget it. All right? So the idea is, how do I get to the truth of these ideas, concepts that I think I know? So I want to read to you from the book A Gradual Awakening by Stephen Levine. He says, at the base of the conditioned mind is a wanting. And that's basically what we have is a conditioned mind. Our mind is not unconditional. Our mind is conditioned. Okay? So at the base of the conditioned mind is a wanting. This wanting takes many forms. It wants to be secure. It wants to be happy. It wants to be wants to survive. It wants to be loved. It also has specific wants such as owning certain objects, having certain friendships, or being in this surrounding or that. There is wanting not to have pain. There is wanting to be enlightened. There is wanting for things to be as we wish they would be. Our daydreams are imaginings of getting what we want. And our nightmares are being blocked from what we want. The planning mind tries to assure satisfaction. Most thought is based on satisfaction of desires. Therefore, much thought has at its root a dissatisfaction with what is now. Wanting is the urge for the next moment to contain what this moment does not. Then there is a wanting in the mind. This moment feels incomplete. Wanting is seeking elsewhere, whereas completeness is being right here, right now. And that's all the works of Thich Nhat Hanh. Anybody ever read the works of Thich Nhat Hanh? It's all about mindfulness. It's all about, I'm washing the dish, and that's what I'm doing. I'm washing the dish. I'm not thinking about when I finish washing this dish, then I can go do something else. So mindfulness is always being in the moment. So just take a moment to become aware of how your ego is reacting to what we just read, because for most of us, there are things we do want. Okay, we're always in this wanting state, all right? Believe it or not, am I right? Right now, you can't wait until I finish talking so you can go do something else, right? Yeah. So this process is always going on, right? So for example, I assume the reason why we are here studying truth principles is because we want to reach the goal of enlightenment. And we might not be saying that to ourselves, but, we want to reach this goal of enlightenment, a state of mind we believe that we do not possess at this time. We're hoping that if we keep studying and praying and meditating, that at some moment in time we will arrive at a state of enlightenment. Okay? Now, however, the problem with wanting to be enlightened is that folks who think they have already arrived are usually devastated when some event occurs in their lives that cause them to realize that they have not arrived at all, but are still on the journey. Okay? Even with us, things might be going well in your life. He says, man, I think I got this spiritual thing down. Okay? And then something happens. And you realize that you don't. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to understand that this is a continuous process. We are not going to arrive in this particular lifetime. Even again, just sharing some other thoughts. They say that when Jesus showed up on the earth, that was not his first time here. That he had been here many times before, okay? Trying to get to the point where he could be completely Christ conscious. Even when he came here, he didn't realize who he was. It was his mother Mary who knew who he was. You get what I'm saying? All right? So this is a process that goes on, you know, with us for a very long time. Now, this key, usually feeling you have arrived, comes from accumulation of a lot of knowledge about spiritual ideas. You know a lot. Okay? And people say something, you can just pull out your six shooters and shoot them all up with all the stuff you know. Right? And it makes you feel your enlightenment, because now people are telling you, man, you want to know so-and-so, go talk to him. He really knows his stuff. Okay, and it makes you feel that way. Okay? It comes from knowing, however, without really knowing. Okay? And there's a vast difference between knowing something intellectually and having truly integrated that knowing into every fiber of your being. It's one thing to say, I have faith. But it's a whole other thing to be faith, that nothing that happens in your life will disturb you from this place that you're in. Okay, and sometimes we'll attempt to force what we think we know on ourselves by trying to act more spiritual. You know, like if something happens, your ego would have reacted to it, and you hold yourself back. You says, "No, I'm going to be spiritual in this moment." But inside, you just beat the mess out of the person who pissed you off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're going in your head. So it's like, if it's still going on in your head, yeah, you're not at that place yet. So there's a vast difference between executing your will to force yourself to follow a spiritual principle you haven't fully embraced, as opposed to allowing that spiritual principle to become a natural part of who you are becoming. So it's not that you are struggling to try to do it. If you keep that principle on your mind long enough, you begin to integrate it into your being. Can you get what I'm saying? All right? Now, I know that if this may not make sense to everybody in the first time you hear it. You know, this idea of forcing yourself to do or be, you know, until you've arrived in consciousness. The key here is we have to understand that there should be no forcing to bring these deeper principles into our being. We want to just allow the process to happen, allow it to unfold. And the name for this idea of allowing it to unfold inside of us, allowing it happens when we tap into the Holy Spirit within us. Now, the key here is, what is the Holy Spirit? Because we hear these terms all the time. So the Holy Spirit, if you don't really understand the Holy Spirit, you're kind of looking for some being to do something with you, to help you through some process. The Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah God taking care of each individual member of the human family. The Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah God taking care of each individual member of the human family. The Holy Spirit is within you. It is that aspect of God that is personal to you. It's your personal assistant in the spiritual process that is there to uplift you when you are ready to be uplifted. But you have to what? Allow the process to happen. So back to the other, let go and let God. Okay? Now, acting as if is a good technique for developing certain ego-based patterns. Right? Okay? But the spiritual process takes us into the realm in which the ego dares not tread. Okay? So while, you know, when we embark on a spiritual path, we must be willing to be changed at our core, at both the conscious and unconscious level. And this requires transformation of knowledge into wisdom. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's a whole other thing to have wisdom. Knowledge is you went to school and you learned all the theory about it. You know what the textbook says about it. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, you know, it was one of the college officials. I said, you know, I've never taken a marketing class in school. I'm the number one marketing instructor in the college, teaching for 35 years, and I've never taken a marketing class. But when they looked at my resume 35 years ago, they says, oh, you're teaching marketing. Because of what? My experience. My wisdom in that area, because I had to learn it in the street. Of course, it was the streets of IBM and Xerox and Ford and General Motors, okay? But it was still street knowledge. See what I'm saying? In IBM, when I started there, they would put you in a room. You had to study these principles, study these ideas, and you had to go out with salespeople. Then you had to take some exams, and then you had to do some fun, and you had to do that for a year. Yeah, that's it. Back in the 70s, I was worth $40,000 to go through that training. All right. And 85 of us started out in the training, and every I think it was once a month, we had to go down to Atlanta, Georgia for a 1 week session. And there, if you failed, you were out. So at the end of a year, out of 85 people, there were 15 of us left. Okay? So you really had to be, you had to understand the street knowledge. So it's the same thing with this. It's not about having the knowledge of being spiritual. It's, are you working it in the street? You see what I'm saying? Are you working in the aspects of your everyday life? Okay? And, you know, again, this idea, and if we go to James 1, 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. Okay? So we receive that wisdom from the Holy Spirit, and how you know you just received some wisdom is when it comes in divine guidance. And divine guidance usually trumps what your ego wanted you to do. You see the practicality of it? Okay? So what we want to accomplish in this lesson is to get us to take a look at the fact that at any level of the psycho-spiritual state we feel we have reached, it is merely just a ledge on the side of the mountain to spiritual enlightenment. Okay? This may sound discouraging to anyone whose sole reason for climbing is to reach the top. We must learn to embrace the journey without any thought of arriving at the top. You're not going to be like Jesus in this lifetime. It's the climb is where you get that inspiration. Okay? The only thing that is real and necessary for us to understand as fully as possible is, where am I in this moment? Where am I right now? Okay? And part of understanding where we truly are in this moment is to begin to understand the nature of our internal chatter. What is going on in your head? Right now, as I'm talking, this stuff going on in your head. Am I right? Okay? There's this chatter that's always going on. And even within our own heads, we need to understand what is really being said underneath what is really being said. Even in my own mind, I'm saying stuff, but I have to understand what's underneath that stuff that I'm saying. What's causing me to be that way? So, and again, in the book A Gradual Awakening by Stephen Levon, he says, the internal dialogue in our minds is always commenting and judging and planning. It contains a lot of thought of self, a lot of self-indulgence, a lot of self-consciousness. It blocks the light of our natural wisdom. It limits our seeing who we really are, and it makes a lot of noise and attracts our attention to only a fraction of the reality in which we live. That's powerful. So, you know, and again, I tell you the story several times. When Joseph and Mary came to the inn with, you know, to give birth to the Christ child, the people in the inn said, there is no room for you in the inn. They didn't say there's no room in the inn. This is no room in the inn for you. The inn was filled with people. That inn is our consciousness that's filled with all these thought people about, you know, what's going to happen with this, and this is going on, and all this stuff is going on. But and then, you know, the Joseph and Mary, love and wisdom, I mean, your love and wisdom come to and knock on the door, and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any room for you because I got all this other stuff going on. That's what that means metaphysically, okay? And I believe this is a result of the ego's need, you know, to feel it has arrived. You know, it's probably a scary thought to think about the fact that we don't understand the total scope of what is happening in our mind. Okay? However, a key point in what Stephen Levine is saying is that we do possess a natural wisdom, but our own self-indulgent, self-conscious internal dialogue blocks the light of our natural understanding from entering into our awareness. That is why, again, we need to practice, be still, and know that I am God. God, how help me with this. What do I need to do? Be still and know that I am God. This natural wisdom already exists within us. There is nothing for us to get to. There is only that which we need to awaken to realize that it exists there. All right? So I believe that this is a result of the ego's need to feel it has arrived, it has accomplished, it has grasped, you know, it's striving for. You know, it's all of us, we've been told, oh, you got to work hard, you got to get to this. So now that we're taking that same idea to the spiritual process, we've got to work hard, we got to get to this. Now think about it. Isn't most of our thinking based on fulfilling some need? Right? Okay. And again, there are many areas in our life in which it is acceptable to claim a sense of having arrived. But when it comes to truth principles and spiritual understanding, it can be delusional to allow your ego to claim mastery in having arrived. Whenever you can say, I have arrived from a spiritual perspective, that's purely the ego trying to claim something. People who have arrived, not here, right? Exactly. I believe there are a lot of great masters on earth today. But those are people that you had known, they don't talk. It's like professors at the college who never say that they're a PhD. They never go by Dr. So-and-so. They're just folks working on the thing they love working on. You get what I'm saying? Okay. And everyone who claims to be on a spiritual path must come to the realization that the understanding of truth is not something you can master and control with ego intelligence. True spiritual understanding is something that can only be given to you by the Holy Spirit when you have demonstrated in your consciousness that you are spiritually mature enough to accept it and embrace it. That's why Jesus said, do not throw pearls before a swine. Okay? I know that's a heavy thing to say, but he's saying if you throw, you know, the other words, he's saying that people can't understand the truth, don't even try to just work with it in your own head. But before we can, you know, claim to be proficient in our understanding of spiritual knowledge, there's much we need to be willing to understand about ourselves. Okay, self-knowledge is the doorway to spiritual understanding. Mm-hmm. Now, it's, you know, if we're not willing to take a deeper, honest look at ourselves, what we will come to understand is that our ego is perpetuating a delusion. And that's what we're trying to understand. Our ego is perpetuating a delusion. A lot of times we don't want to know that. Okay, that's what's going on. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to look in the mirror and see all of who I am and then work with spiritual principles to deal with what I've discovered? Okay? You have to ask that question. Now, visualize with me for a moment. We got any visualizers in here? Okay. So visualize with me for a moment. You're sitting on a ledge of a mountain with clouds, you know, just under your feet, so you can't see, you know, what's below you or, you know, how far up you really are. And then imagine you become aware that you're wearing this vest, this with a harness, and these two very thick ropes are coming off that harness, and they drop down into a precipice and disappear, you know, into the clouds. The ropes are very taut, and you become aware that they are obviously connected to a heavily weighted object which you have been pulling with you up the side of the mountain. Now, eventually, a strong wind comes along and blows away the clouds just for a moment, and you discover two things. First is that you've been dragging a very large, heavy, bulky container with you up this mountain, okay? And second, and quite often very disturbing to many, is that we discover that we're not as high up as the mountain as we thought, okay? Now the weight, you know, the weight of the load we were pulling along made every step very arduous, very challenging, very demanding, very exhausting. And then, you know, you falsely believe that you had covered so much more distance while you were dragging this stuff up the mountain. But for many of us, we have become so used to the weight we've been dragging that we didn't even know that we were dragging anything, so we never thought to seek how to lighten the load. Okay. However, becoming aware of the emotional load you've been dragging in your climb to spiritual awakening is so much more beneficial to your spiritual journey than those who believe they don't have any baggage at all. Okay? At least when you know you're dragging old baggage, you can do something about it. Okay? Now, the cloud we're referring to in this scenario is called the cloud of the unknowing. It is when something occurs in your life that causes a cloud of unknowing to open up for a moment that you discover you've been dragging along this very heavy, bulky, emotional stuff. And you discover you're not as high up the mountain in your spiritual growth as you thought. So, what do you do now? Okay. Now that you discover this, what do you do? Well, first of all, the bulky container of old stuff in this allegory is filled with our reactions to the trials and tribulations in our lives, the things we've experienced and the way we reacted to them. The container is filled with those experiences we did not resolve and come to peace with. Is that making sense? Okay. Now, it's logical to ask, well, what happened to all the good things that did bring me peace, joy, and happiness? You know, why aren't they in the container? Well, the answer is that the experiences we embraced and called good were resolved and made part of our being. Okay? And it's the occurrence of good things, it is the occurrence of good things in our lives that have given us the strength to carry on in the face of our trials and tribulations. The other stuff that is not in our emotional baggage of trials and tribulations is the stuff that we resolved. You get it? The stuff that's in the bag that we're dragging, stuff we have not resolved. But the other stuff that we did resolve, now that's part of our being. It's part of who we are. We now, instead of being afraid of it, we now love it. Because we resolved it. Okay? So back to the ledge where we're sitting on the side of the mountain. Something has occurred in our lives which removes for a moment the cloud of unknowing, gives us a partial glimpse into where we really are in consciousness. And the fact that we have a lot of unresolved, unforgiven, unembraced issues we must be willing to work with if we expect to move further up the mountain of spiritual enlightenment. To continue our journey, we must be willing to lighten our load. But as usual, the question again is, how do I do that? How do I lighten this load? One of the biggest challenges is, you know, Sigmund Freud says we use the whole thing of repression. Things that are too disturbing in our mind, we repress them into our subconscious realm of mind. And for most of us, we've just forgotten it. Okay? But the fact that you're not conscious of it, you have to understand that stuff is still organic. It's still mulling around in there. And I think I've told you this 100 times. You know the people who go after that stuff? The marketing industry. Seriously. All right? In their advertisements, they use a subliminal message that stirs up that unconscious stuff to make you feel like you need this product or service that they're selling. And they're good at it. They are masters at it. Okay? So the key is we want to learn, how do I bring this stuff up so that I can begin to heal and work with it? Now, of course, having a good psychotherapist to work with is always a great thing. Okay? But finding a mechanism that you can become confident enough. And the thing is, when you become willing in your consciousness to face it, it's like children that want your attention, and it will come up for you. But if you have the same exact reaction to it, it's going to go right back down and continue mulling around down there. Okay. So the key is, how do I do it? Well, first is to realize that you are never working on yourself by yourself. Okay. As it is written in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you are. Okay? And second, the reason for the spiritual journey is that you're working with, you want to gain belief and faith in the power and presence within you that's greater than you are. Isn't that that's our mission, right? It's to understand there's a power and presence within me that is greater than I am. So our spiritual journey is to have the belief and faith that there is this power within me that's greater than I am, who is the only one capable of helping us love, heal, forgive, embrace, and integrate all of the alienated parts of ourselves back into ourselves as love. Being alienated to being love. You with me? Okay. We can't do it. The ego can't do it. The ego's not going to do it. Ego enjoys where it is. You know, in the delusion that it's in. And it knows that as you begin to resolve this stuff and become more and more awake, it knows it's you know, the ego is an illusion, and it's going to start to diminish. And you're like, oh, no, I don't want to go anywhere, right? And that's why it's fighting within us to stay as we are, okay? So the reason for the study of truth is to help us to learn how to gain the wisdom, the strength, the courage to clean up our own house and put it in order. We read again, 1 Timothy 3:5. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how would he care for God's church? Now, God's church being an aggregation of spiritual ideas and individual consciousness. And let me say this again. God's church, an aggregation of spiritual ideas and individual consciousness. In other words, we have all these spiritual ideas in our mind, but because we pay attention to what the ego is fighting with, we're not hearing any of these. But when you have that moment when you slip from beta consciousness to alpha consciousness, one of those ideas slips through. Sometimes you hear me refer to it as the crack in the cosmic egg. Okay? And one of those ideas slip through. So let me say that again. Caring for God's church requires a state of consciousness. All right? Now, let me explain how that is. This is from the Revealing Word. The church of God begins its activity within you as a mental perception, which must go through certain processes before it is established in the whole consciousness. Let me say it again. The church of God, this aggregation of spiritual ideas, begins its activity within you as a mental perception. Because remember, we don't operate from reality, we operate from perception. So God being God, slips it in as a perception. Okay? So it comes in as a perception, but it must go through certain processes before it's established in the whole consciousness. It works, its work is subjective at first, which makes you think it's my idea, right? Okay, subjective first. That is, it is a silent interior planting of spiritual ideas, which do not make themselves manifest at once. Is everybody getting it? Okay? All right? But works like leaven, and in time will transform you. So the seed idea, who's ever made fresh bread from scratch? Okay? So you put that leaven in it, right? And what it starts to do, it starts to rise. Okay? And that's what's happening here. The Holy Spirit keeps planting an idea. You're going, oh, God, how can I get through this? Holy Spirit plants an idea. And it just leaves it, not trying to change your mind or anything, but this idea begins to grow. And as long as you don't kill it, it will expand inside of you. That's why listening to things like this and reading things like this and meditating is so important. It's like one of my instructors at the college said, you know, you're talking to them and they're not even listening to you. 18, 19-year-olds today are like in a whole other space, all right? I said, but you want to tell them, you want to give them your best because they cannot totally tune you out. They can be on their phones, they could be asleep, they could be whatever. If you're giving them your best, one day they become 25, 30, whatever, they'll go, whoa, I just got what Professor Mosby told me 10 years ago, right? But you always want to plant the good seeds. You get what I'm saying? You always want to, and same thing with yourself. You always want to plant the good seeds. So when you begin to truly grasp the truth in truth, you become humble in your knowledge, realizing it is beyond you, and you're just an instrument through which the truth is expressing. That's why the prayer of St. Francis is so powerful. Lord, make me an instrument. Okay? Being willing to become an instrument is a way to the spiritual path. You cannot transform yourself. You can't do it. The ego can't jump out of the ego. Okay? Rather, you are transformed in the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to use you as an instrument. Otherwise, studying truth will just be another intellectual process, another thing to stroke the ego. Okay? So always allow yourself a lifetime of constant, continuous unfoldment as you evolve towards enlightenment. In the words of Sanjiguru, Enlightenment is a process. The question is, can you sustain the process and allow it to become possible for you? It's a lifetime process, okay? Now, one of the axioms here at Unity Center of Light is self-observation, say it with me, without condemnation. So we're going to add another one, self-observation without the fear of being changed. Okay? Self-observation without the fear of being changed. So the key to learning the truth about yourself is simple, gentle self-awareness. Don't beat yourself up. Know, why am I going through it? Why do I think like this? Why do I do this? Stop all that chatter and just become still. Be very gentle with yourself. Stop, you know, just take time to stop planning, stop analyzing, stop judging, stop processing. Take time to just be. Take time to be observant of the process unfolding within you. Then once you have received divine guidance, then move your feet. Remember, as the Quakers say, you know, pray and then move your feet, okay? And do those things you're being guided to do. And finally, remember the spiritual journey is not about a final destination, okay? It's about the journey. It's always about the journey. And so take your time, be gentle with yourself, be willing to get to know all of who you are and embrace and discover those different dynamics that's going on within you. Heal it and integrate it back into yourself. This is the nature of wholeness. And being whole again is what we are striving for. Amen.